You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, now, if that's it, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Hebrews today, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we've come to the end of semester, and grades are up, and they just need to be checked, and then they'll roll probably Tuesday of this week. So a lot of students will be waiting to have the confirmation of their grades, and that's a bit of a nervous time, and hope that all the students get rewarded for their hard work and find great success in life. We always wish this for all of our students. And, grades don't always quite do it. They don't quite summarize necessarily the good efforts and the knowledge students have. It's the best we've got, I think, at the moment for how to assess students. And you think of every semester, at the close of these semesters, students are coming to a completion of some aspect of their studies. And so we've been doing this study previously on the ends of the ages. And it's interesting that just look at how many ends there are in life. There's so many of them. And with them, the starting or the beginning of something. And those beginnings are also equally exciting. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord. Again, remember the life of Jean, Lord, and we thank thee for her time with us. We look forward, Lord, for the resurrection when we'll have so much joy and laughter when we see each other again with the marvelous work of God in our renewed bodies. And so we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, up here we've got part 6, and so I've been thinking about this. Man, if I don't watch out, we won't even get out of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, if we don't watch out. So I've renewed this. I've been thinking about this, and so, man, we're going to go nuclear. We're going nuclear. So what we'll do is certainly we're looking at this book, and we're going to stick with the book and, of course, the Bible mainly, but we're going to really knock out these chapters in a much more quick fashion, and I'll do that by just reading and reading and reading and get the kernel of what's going on, and I'll give you that. Hebrews 1:10. Let's just have a look at Hebrews 1:10 together. It says this, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now this is a quote. This comes out of the book of Psalms, and I took the liberty of just pasting here part of the Companion Bible. Many of you have got the Companion Bible, which is an excellent Bible to have. If you haven't got a Companion Bible, I would suggest you get a copy, because it's a great resource, tremendous resource. E.W. Bullinger worked on this, and later on, of course, he died when the part of the New Testament was being put together, and so a team took over where he left off. And so that's an explanation for why some of the notes probably he wouldn't quite agree with in the New Testament portion. But, however, nonetheless, the Psalms, and this points out this wonderful breaking up and structure of the Psalms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five books, as it were, of the Psalms, which line up with the Pentateuch. And it's a tremendous structure. And the more you study this, the more you just are amazed. And you notice that Psalm 102 forms in this Numbers book concerning Israel and the nations of the earth. And, of course, Israel and the nations of the earth are very much the subject of prophecy and what's going on as far as a hope in the book of Acts. And so therefore, in the book of Hebrews, you're going to find a lot in here to do with the consummation of the coming age when Christ is going to rule on the earth. It's going to be a fantastic time, but it's not going to be like many have portrayed, which is, oh, it's just going to be peace all around the globe. That's not quite how things are going to go down. In fact, there's going to be rebellion by some of the nations, and God will withdraw water at times. There will be judgment around the earth by disobedient nations. But if you look at this wonderful structure, I'm just amazed at the Bible, aren't you? The structure that's in there. So this is Psalm 102 from the same companion Bible. And you notice in Psalm 102, the title is The King in His Humiliation. In His Humiliation. So when we read in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. This is coming in a place where the subject matter is all about the king in his humiliation. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as charred wood. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my food by reason of the voice of my groaning. My bones cleave to my flesh. You see this in the Messiah. You see this as akin to Psalm 22, talking about this time when Messiah would go through this tremendous humiliation and suffering on the cross. The king suffering. It's an amazing thing to realize. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and as a sparrow flitting to and fro upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn together against me. Yeah, this is all picturing the Messiah in his humiliation. And coming down here, you can read the rest of it, verse 12, But thou, O Lord, sittest enthroned forever, and thy throne unto all generations. And reading this psalm, you can see that there is this tremendous picture of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the one who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the sustenance of God put into this engrafting, put in there. Here he is going through all this trouble. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, read it with me. Look what it says. And it says this in verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be. Now look at the expression. I will be to him. I will be to him. I will be to him. What does that language tell you? You can see that this is the language of God taking on this responsibility. This is a form, a mode of God taking on this responsibility. He says, For unto which of the angels, comparing to the angels, said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? None of the angels. How important the angel? Well, we'll see. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He shall be. A new change has taken place when the Lord took on flesh. God takes on this responsibility as the Father, and the Word now taking on this form of the Son. And it says this, And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. You're going to find that in this tremendous passage that angels come up over and over again. Angels. Why? Because it's very clear that angels are a tremendous creation of God. And at first glance, you would say, well, man, what is man compared to an angel? Right? And now the comparison is made between the angels and the Word that became flesh as the Son. And look what he says here. Verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Well, I can't just read that without reading verse 6. Look at it. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Oh, wait a minute. The superiority of the Son. When God spoke before in prophets, that's one thing. It's one thing how he spoke by the prophets and in the prophets. That's one thing. But in these last days, he spoke in Son as the supreme theophany, God in flesh. And he speaks in this way, and he's superior. Jesus is superior than the angels in so many different ways. Look what he says. Verse 8, but under the Son, he saith, thy throne. Now, wait. God speaking to the Son. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, that's the throne of the Son, O God. Wait a minute. The Father speaking to the Son, O God. You see, way superior to any angel. Way superior in substance. Right? The express image of his person. This first chapter sets up Jesus Christ to be so much more superior than anyone else by his substance and by his position, the responsibilities given to him. Now look what he goes on to say. Thou, verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God. Whoa! Again, an amazing thing. By his substance he's God. But by taking on flesh, he has God. He has a God, right? Now, both of them are true. Both of them are true. It can only be true if God took on flesh and became Son. Then he can refer back to the Father as God. Just as true. And he goes on. And he says this. Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. Okay, now look what it says here. Notice it says here, verse 11, they shall perish. Yeah, but he interprets perish. How does he interpret perish? And verse 12, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. Ah, okay, perish in the sense of a reformation. Right? A reformation. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Ah, in distinction to the creation, which will go through a form of perishing in which it shall be changed. What does the writer of Hebrews say about the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people who simply will not understand he's talking about the substance of God in Jesus Christ try and say, oh, that means that the dispensational truth doesn't mean anything. You know, people who don't read the scriptures and look for what the scriptures mean in the context will get off into all sorts of categorical error. Categorical error. Now, there's all sorts of categorical errors that you can make. That's an example of one there. Here's another one. Oh, okay. I find the word body. Find the word body in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and in Romans and in Ephesians. Therefore, they're all the same. A categorical error. What I'm doing at the moment is I'm going through some of the mid-Acts writers. And one of the big mid-Acts writers, some of you will know, is a guy called C.R. Stamm. Big time mid-Acts writer. If you go through his book, which I'm doing at the moment, you'll find these kind of categorical errors. And what I'd like to do, not any disrespect to the person, the man, but just examining the writing of the mid-exposition, show how all of these categorical errors are leading people up the garden path. And we need to do it in love and in care, putting the scriptures first. Categorical errors all over the place. Okay, so over here, you see the king in his humiliation. You find it in the book of Psalms. And the writer of Hebrews now bringing this forward and showing us this. Now look what it says down here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13. But to which of the angels... Hey, wait a minute. He's not letting these angels go. There is something very, very important about the angels. The angels figure in here in a very important way. And I'll show you in what way. In all their different facets. And it says here, but to which of the angels said he at any time? This comes from Psalm 110. Why is he going to the Psalms? Because that's all about the Messiah. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Okay, so there's a progress of time. There's some interaction that must take place, and events will be put in place on earth where the Lord Jesus Christ will take up his throne on the earth. And it says this, are they not all ministering spirits? Whoa, the angels he's talking about. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's what the angels were there for. They were ministering spirits, not like us. We're clay, remember? We're made of the dust of the earth. Dust of the earth. But these angels are completely on a different substrate. Completely different substance. Ministering spirits. Spirits, man. Ministering spirits. Yeah, they're ministers. Who's your minister? Well, a spirit. How do you like that, man? How would you like an angel to be coming up here into the pulpit and just saying, well, folks, yes, I've got a ministry here from God Almighty who ordained me in the ages. How would you like to talk face to face with an angel? It's going to blow your mind, don't you think? Have you ever seen some other creature that's not flesh and blood? I mean, I look out on the creation. I do some crazy things. I'm trying to speak to these little hummingbirds now. You know? I mean, if you come around our place, you're going to find all these feeders all around the windows and the great shells everywhere and scrapings from the birds. I've got to clean them up. Seppy gets after me. We're a mess there. And we've got birds flying around this house of ours. Probably you're going to see flocks soon just around our house. And, you know, we love them. We love talking to them and trying to feed them and so on. But they're all just creatures. What if that is flesh and blood creatures. What if you were able to look in the eyes... Because when the angels come to the earth, or we see them in human-like form, how would you like to look into the eyes of an angel, man? Because they were here. And I believe they're still here. Look at this. It says in verse 14, and they, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Oh, okay. Now this brings up a great topic, friends. Salvation. Salvation in the book of Hebrews. If you look at salvation, what do you see here? Okay. You've got the Red Sea. Down here's Egypt. Aiguptos. Or as the Egyptians called their own land Kemet. Kemet. And the pharaohs, they would have the two thrones, right? The two hats for the uniting of the two thrones of Upper and Lower Egypt. Upper meaning upper in altitude. Lower down by the sea. And the kings, these pharaohs, would have these crowns, which were a combination, upper and lower crowns. And they were known as the land of the black earth. Why the land of the black earth? Because there was the inundation when the level of the Nile come up, and a lot of sediment would fall out and grow their crops here. Great things happen as far as the crops. And what we have is we have the nation of Israel coming out of bondage and then finally cutting later on through the Red Sea, walking on dry land, wall of water either side, and they go through dry land. And they come out under the blood of the Passover, right? They come out. And then there's a wandering in the desert, 40 years. And then finally under the captain, they go into the land. So there's a coming out, right? There is a coming out under the blood of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb showing a dealing of sin. And then after disobedience, a going in under the captain, right? And here, even Moses had to learn, you don't mess with the law. He couldn't go in because he transgressed. He wasn't allowed to go in, right? Look at this, Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 2, angels, friends. Now remember, all this time there are angels working with Israel. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now notice the word them is in italics. Them slip. So he's talking here about the words. But friends, if you let them slip, there's going to be an effect on your deportment, how you live. Look at this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Okay, there's words. Lest at any time we should let them slip. And this word slip has the idea of like a dragging anchor. Have you guys done much fishing, or you've been out in the sea, or you've been in a place where you've had to rely on an anchor? Can be a problem, you know, if the wind gets up or if there's a big tide. You put the anchor out and you think, oh great, we're done. No, you're not done, friends. Unless that anchor holds, you can move a long way. What's a good idea is to get some bearings onto the land and make sure you're fixed there. So here we have, lest at any time we should let them slip. Or if you don't use that italics, let slip. You see, the person can slip too, right? But the way I think to take this passage, and Welch talks about this in his commentary, that yes, you can let the word slip, but you as a consequence will also slip, right? You will start to drag, be blown with the wind or whatever it is. For if the word spoken, now here it comes, this is the point. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. This is the word bebios. It comes up in different contexts. But the idea here is that it's steadfast means it's rock solid. It's the sort of thing you can build a promise on and be sure that the promise would come about. Right? Something you can really stand on. Now look at this. For if the word spoken by angels was rock solid, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Oh, isn't this interesting? It uses the word reward, but in the context, it's a reward of judgment. So here you've got this right in here, and before he establishes the next doctrine, he wants you to acknowledge the place of the angels and how that the word which came to them was steadfast, man. And that's easy to believe because of the great position the angels had before God. So you have this, man, this steadfast place, the steadfast place of the word which came from these angels. And then every transgression that occurred and disobedience, there was a judgment that came. Look at this. Just think, for example, well, we did a bit of an example over here where we discussed how they came out and finally crossed over the Red Sea and came into the wilderness, and they messed around in the wilderness because of disobedience, and they got judgment, man, if they were disobedient. They copped it. Even Moses, I pointed out. Now look at this, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, wait a minute. So what is he talking about? Is he talking about neglecting the coming out, or the possibility of this great salvation of going in? Look at the context here. It's all about inheritance. Here, in the commentary, I just completely pasted out of the commentary here, where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Isn't that something? 7 times. Soteria. Salvation. The study of salvation. Soteriology. Right? The study of salvation. In the book of Hebrews, it's all about not the coming out under the blood for sin, but that for which you go in. To the inheritance. Very cool. Very important point to see. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Uh-oh, now look, watch. This is the salvation he's referring to, this great salvation. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Confirmed. There was a confirmation. How? In what way was the confirmation? God also bearing witness. Now, notice the italics, them, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. First thing I want you to see is that the comparison is that which came through the disposition, as Stephen said, of angels. The law, it came through the disposition of angels. In the book of Acts, you read, Acts 7:53, or in Galatians 3:9, ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Angels, why? Why? Because of their great position, and it was steadfast. And what he's doing is, he's saying, you think this was steadfast, right? Well, guess what? The word that's come to you by this confirmatory process of signs and wonders, that also is steadfast. And there will be a just recompense of reward for being disobedient to it. Can you dig this? This is massive, friends. This is one of the big keys to opening up the book of Hebrews and understanding what's going on in the book of Acts. Look what he says. Notice in verse 3, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Okay, I get that. I understand the Lord's earthly ministry. And was confirmed. That's a continuation. A continuative ministry of the Lord out of the Gospels and into the book of Acts. And people who find the books written during the book of Acts and say, that's where we're going to ground our doctrine. My friends, you're putting yourself right under the disposition of angels and those things which related to the nation of Israel. Look what he says here. And it says, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. There was a confirmation process. Do you have that confirmation process? Do you? Is it happening? Do you see this confirmatory gifts and signs and wonders? Because if you don't, you've got a problem. Because this is what's going on then. And it says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. Ho ho! Wait a minute again. Angels, angels. Why angels? He keeps coming back to the angels. Because as high a place as they had, and as an important position they had in regards to the law, he's not giving the world to come to them. No. He's giving it to man. That is, to me, the most remarkable thing, right? Now, I'm running out of time. This stuff is just absolutely amazing. You know, it is really incredible stuff. I was going to show you some more things about Psalms and so on, and this doctrine. But I just want you to see this word slip, okay? He says here, lest at any time we should let them slip, drag away, anchor up, drifting. The words drift off, and as a consequence, on our lives, their lives, the Hebrew lives, okay? And this word steadfast is used in these places. And what I'm pointing out here is I'm saying, look, whatever you make out of this UFO phenomenon, whatever you believe about it, because you can't prove anything, right? It's hard to prove anything about what's going on with this. But it would seem to me that whoever's in charge of these things, they've got some kind of technology which manifests in such a way that we are not in charge of this. We don't have the rule over this. Right? We don't have the rule over it. But look what it says here. It says this. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visit him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Now, we haven't got time to read all this. I'll read it next time, and we'll put it into further context. But he's going to put man in charge of the world to come. It's very clear that we are not there yet. The angels have still got the drop on us. Right? Definitely still got the drop on. But in the world to come, the age which is to come, yeah, man's going to be put into place where he's going to have the charge over the angels. The angels will not be in charge. Now, what do you say about this thing? This thing to do with the Nimitz and things that happened on the West Coast and the East Coast and these planes that took pictures of these craft which are doing all kinds of weird things. My own personal belief is that these things come from another dimension. They are part of the heavenly realm. And they have been left by God to do this. He's allowed this to happen. We're not in charge. But one day, that is in the age to come, yeah, man will be raised up and given a position where he will be in charge. He will have this. We'll read this next time. I think this is really cool. You'll notice here, in verse 2 where it says that every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward. You better, he's trying to warn these Hebrews that just like back then, do you think you're going to escape today? What's going on? That is in the age in which they found, in those last days. Do you think you're going to get away with just messing around with the witness of the Holy Spirit? Look at this in Romans chapter 13. Look at this very quickly before I finish. I know that, you know, I can get off can spend all day on this. Verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they shall resist, shall receive of themselves damnation. There was a time when you better not mess with these ministers, because they were representing God's will and the powers of the age to come. You better not mess with that. And people that did mess with it, they would end up sickly or dead. This is just as simple as I can say it. So there's a tremendous teaching here, I think, concerning the book of Hebrews and right division. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today. We thank Thee for the age in which we find ourselves, Lord, and that we live in this, the time when the revelation, the mystery was given to Paul the prisoner, that we have been shown so many things about other ages, and that we have been called to this heavenly hope far above all principality and power. We thank Thee for that in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.